The Public News Service Doe Newscast, April the 14th, 2023. I'm Mike Clifford. It is expected that the Arkansas Governor, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, will sign a bipartisan bill to create an election integrity unit in the State Attorney General's office.
House Bill 1513 was sponsored by GOP Representative Austin McCollum of Bentonville. League of Women Voters of Arkansas President Bonnie Miller says the bill appears to be a remedy in search of a problem. Miller points out there are real issues related to election security, but voter fraud is not one of them, especially in Arkansas.
The League, we do not support the formation of an elections police unit because of the narrow mandate to root out such a rare crime. We don't want to criminalize elections law by imbuing prosecutors with new powers, expanding the list of election-related crimes, and beefing up punishments for technical violations.
Miller points out the bill is based on Florida's Election Crime Task Force, part of a broader push for more restrictive voting laws. She adds state legislatures in Texas, Ohio, and Missouri have also proposed and passed these bills that essentially create new law enforcement teams to investigate claims of voter fraud. For Public News Service, I'm Danielle Smith.
Advocates emphasize there has been no election official in Arkansas or the nation that has substantiated any election fraud claims. And a new report finds that thousands of Michigan families using housing choice vouchers are often left out in the cold by landlords who refuse to rent to them.
A bill in the General Assembly would protect people who need affordable housing from discrimination based on their income source. The report from the Michigan League for Public Policy says children forced to live in substandard housing are excluded from high-performing schools as well as safe, healthy homes and neighborhoods. Study author Julie Cassidy with the League says discrimination often forces families away from good housing.
Landlords that accept vouchers have units in distressed neighborhoods, areas of concentrated poverty. It's not really giving families access to neighborhoods where government and the private sector have really concentrated their investment.
Cassidy says housing choice vouchers are a proven tool that help nearly 65,000 Michigan households afford a safe place to live. 41% of them have children. The report says landlords earn over $647 million annually from HCV tenants. I'm Mark Richardson.
Now from NBC News, Jack Teixeira, a 21-year-old member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard, arrested by federal authorities Thursday in connection with their investigation into classified documents that were leaked on the Internet. This is Public News Service. Tribal colleges not only teach students, they are also institutions that maintain Native American languages and cultural history.
A bill this session would set aside $3 million in each year of the next biennium. The state's three tribal colleges could apply for grants for general operation and maintenance expenses. Leech Lake Tribal College President Helen Montgomery says it would be transformative for her school. She says they could use funds to add more learning space and get up-to-date resources for STEM courses.
Certainly a lot of the learning that we do is outside, and we do have programs that teach an indigenous perspective on not just science, but the environment. It would be really great to have some modern equipment.
Tribal colleges get most of their funding from the federal government, and leaders say it covers only the bare minimum. The House bill currently doesn't have a hearing scheduled, and it's unclear if other priorities will keep it from advancing. I'm Mike Moen.
Most people's college schedules do not involve learning on three continents in the same year, but that is the plan for one Arizona State University student.
ASU junior Daniel Hernandez wants to focus on social equity and justice in the healthcare field he plans to enter after graduation. He's been selected as one of a dozen high-achieving students of color for a 2023 Frederick Douglass Global Fellowship. The opportunity will take Hernandez to Washington, D.C., Cape Town, and Dublin over the summer to learn more about social and political figures that have influenced the world. Hernandez says he's excited about the honor and the insights it'll bring.
The fellowship is a great way to teach people, leaders, how to properly especially in today's society, it's important as a leader or as someone who just desires to make change as the catalyst for that change. It's important to understand people and also how to properly act and react.
A Tucson native, Hernandez says he's never traveled outside the U.S. He adds he's also eager to share his experiences with others upon his return to the States. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
Finally, our Joy Graham lets us know that for hundreds of years, skygazers have speculated that the full moon affects human behavior and mental health.
The study from the Indiana University School of Medicine looked for connections between the weeks of a full moon and suicide rates. Researchers examined data from the Marion County Coroner's Office between 2012 and 2016. Dr. Alexander Nicolescu says they've discovered evidence to support the hypothesis with a marked suicide increase during full moons.
There are more deaths by suicide in the week of the full moon compared to the rest of the month. There's also an interesting age effect. Where people who are somewhat older, 55 and above, the effect is more pronounced. But in all ages, there is an effect of the full moon on suicide.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for ending your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on interesting radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.